Here at CITR, we're
Moontan Nocturnal, vinyl consuming animals drifting easy through friendly space.
And we're
the villains.
And
Nardwuar the human serviette from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
We're
dark space punctuated by planets.
And we're
Patrick Swayze.
And we're
God, the devil, hell, heaven! Do you understand? Finally!
But CITR is not a
commercial radio station.
Which means we need the help of listeners like you. Donate to CITR's 2013 fund drive, February 28th to March 8th. Our goal is to raise $30,000 to help purchase new soundboards for all three studios. To donate, call 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. Or go online to CITR.ca. And thanks for supporting community radio.
Hey, Horace, give us three shots of your best bourbon. And have that Russian waiter I like bring it over.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Tune into CITR 101.9 FM every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. And you can also find the podcast on CITR.ca, iTunes, and my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com. Hello, 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 my friends. Hello, this is Rocket from Russia on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is weekly punk rock radio show, Rocket from Russia. My name is Tim, and welcome to this radio show, my friends. Big and great success. Yes, if you'd like to give me a call, 604-822-2487, and Twitter at Tima underscore Tzar. T-Z-A-R. This is how you spell the second word of my Twitter thing, I guess. Success. So, we heard Lagwagon, Razor Burn, that was the name of the song, from their band's album called Haas. And obviously, the people, especially the people who read my Twitter, they are aware that today's episode will be built around my recent interview with Joey Cape of Lagwagon. That was a big deal for me. Lagwagon is one of my favorite bands, and again, if you're a listener of the show, you know that my favorite band of all time is NoFX, and I'm one of those persons who has his favorite band, and this is my favorite band for my whole life. I don't know, but looks like, yeah, it's like I've been listening to this band for over 15 years. They're my favorite band, yes, but there are other bands which I like, and in terms of people who influence me, if I want to use the word hero, obviously Fat Mike is high priority on the list, but Joey Cape of Lagwagon is probably the second person in terms of people who influenced me as a people, as songwriters, and as musicians. So for me, talking to Joey Cape was a huge deal. I had so many questions because listening to all his projects, Lagwagon, and all his solo stuff, I had a lot of questions, so the interview turned out to be quite long. We talked almost for 1 hour, the small breaks. The interview happened at the show. They played a show on 21st, on Thursday, February 21st, at the Commodore Ballroom. Lagwagon opened for Pennywise. And before the show, I went to the dressing room at the Commodore Ballroom, so that's why I'm telling you that, because there will be a lot of noise. There will be the opening band playing the laughs from other members of the band. So yeah, there will be, but the conversation turned out really cool. I don't know, for me it was a, as I said, huge deal, and I'm glad that the conversation happened to be very interesting. Joey said a lot of interesting stuff, and I think it turned out really well. Again, so without any music, let's start to the conversation, because it's a long interview, and I would really want you to play as many pieces of the interview as I can. And obviously, I'll play you a lot of music, and we discussed a lot of his different bands, different projects, and I will play you some of those songs. But let's start in the first part of the interview with Joey Cape. We discussed the brand new box set, Putting Music in Its Place. The Lagwagon re-released the first 5 albums by the band, and they put it in a nice box set. It's a great box set, especially for the fans. First 5 albums plus an extra album of outtakes, demos, and all that stuff. So the first half of the conversation was all about this box set. So let's check it out. This is my first part 1 of my interview with Joey Cape of Lagwagon. Let's listen, Joey Cape. Welcome to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I know that fans are extremely excited to see you. The show is sold out, and thank you for a super bonus as your acoustic set last night at the Media Club. Thank you so much.
Oh, cool. You were there?
Of course it was.
Yeah, it was fun.
Brilliant.
It was pretty fun. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Let's start with the box set, which came out recently, Putting Music in Its Place. First 5 albums you re-released, you worked, added a lot of unreleased songs.
Yes.
For me, as a Lagwagon nerd, the biggest thing was to see the progression of songs from demos to the real versions.
Sure.
And for example, Know It All, in the demo you had this weird 80 seconds outro, and then you just ditched it for their album.
I know, and it's really weird with that sort of thing. When you go back and listen to those things, oftentimes you forget that they existed, you know? And I remember when I first heard the outro to Know It All, my initial reaction was kind of like, this is good, why did we cut this? And I think that, you know, it may be a more concise, better song in the sense of just pop sensibility or something now, without that intro, but I don't know, you know, I have no idea why we did something like that. I think that maybe, I don't know. There's all these weird moments in a band where, you know, somebody suggests something and then everybody agrees to do something and it just happens. And you look back and you're not really sure why. But I don't know that it's better either way. There was more demos than we put on there. There was actually demos for all of those songs. And I didn't put all of them on there because some of them were so bad. But it is interesting, I think, too, even for me, because I've forgotten, you know?
Yeah.
Just to see like how they change. Only within a year.
Yeah.
You know, a very short amount of time. It's strange.
Was it the biggest thing you took away from this process of working on the box set that you did rediscovered some moments for you as a songwriter? Was it the most interesting thing?
There was a little bit of that, but I mean, there weren't all that many aha moments. You know, I mean, there were definitely a lot of things I didn't remember, but I don't know that I really had any kind of awakening songwriting wise. You know, I just I think the main thing that you see and hear when you listen to older music that you make is you hear pitch tuning. That's the main thing for me. I mean, it's just when I listen to the stuff, I go, wow, the guitar's really out of tune. Or, wow, the vocal's really flat or sharp, or, you know, and other than that, you notice that maybe it's a little bit faster. And the speed changes a lot, maybe when it's not supposed to change. But for the most part, I wasn't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Yeah. No.
But for me, as a like wagon nerd, that was a brilliant experience. The whole packaging.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Experience.
I'm glad you liked it.
And I know that Chad helped a lot from Fat.
Yeah, that was great. Because I think when you're doing something like that and you're in the band, it's difficult to be objective about the decisions you make. And of course, it's a subjective thing as well. So the guys in the band were loosely involved as well, but for the most part, it really just needed to be me and somebody that didn't have the same kind of vested interest. And if it were up to me, there were a lot of songs that made it onto the comp, wouldn't have been on the comp, because I was cringing, like, oh, that's just not good. But, you know, Chad kept saying, trust me on this, I'm a fan of the band, and as a fan of the band, you need to put this on there. And that was really cool, because it made me a little more brave about it, you know. But in hindsight, I almost feel like we should have just put every single thing we found on there, because why not? I don't know, there's a fine line between just giving everything, you know, for the sake of maybe somebody listens to something once and it's just a cool thing to offer them if they really love a band. There's a fine line between that, which is a cool thing, and the arrogance of suggesting that something is worthy of being released. You know what I mean? Like, some of the stuff, it's like, yeah, don't worry, we know this is shitty. It almost seems like a disclaimer before the song. You know what I mean? But like some of the demo stuff, it's just like, all right, so this next song you're about to hear, Lagwagon does not endorse this. That's why it never came out before. Yeah.
No, for me, I...
By the way, we know this is shitty. We're sorry. We apologize for the 3 minutes that will follow this. Yeah, sorry.
Jazzy and life changed you, and you were proud to be changed. It's supposed to serve as a means to expose you fans without prejudice, but it makes no sense. A harbor for the underground, till the alternative becomes a popular sound. And the fans are good till they make enough cash to eat food and get up out, and they sold out, and their music's cliche. But talent's exclusive to fans without pay. Know it all, know it all. Did you really listen to that song? Did you ever write what you call wrong? Know it all.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and CITR.ca, live on air, broadcasting from UBC CITR. Success. We just heard the first part of my interview with Joey Cape, and the song we discussed a little bit about the box that we just came out, and we also discussed this progression of the songs from demos to the album versions. And one of those songs which stood out personally for me was Know It All, and we discussed that there was this really interesting 80 seconds outro which doesn't exist on the album version. Let's move on. Let's go to the second part. And in the second part, we talked a little bit about the history of the band, how the band started, and then a little bit about those other older songs which they play or don't play, or which they discovered through doing this box set. So let's check it out. Second part of my interview with Joey Cape of Lagwagon. Let's check it out.
For me, well, as a fan, was very interesting, and like I just loved the whole idea. The packaging, brilliant. I loved this though. The CDs, they had a little blurbs on from everyone talking.
Yeah.
And Chris said, I didn't know that you met in the Santa Barbara Football League, and because you were fans of the book Among the Thugs by the Paul Bifford.
Yeah, that was.
I didn't know. Is that true?
I'm sure. I mean, we were on a football team together when we were 9 years old or 10 years old. In fact, Chris is getting married soon, and he asked me to be in his wedding. And when he first asked me to do it, I thought, I wonder if that's because I've known him the longest. You know, because I forget sometimes how long we've known each other. It's crazy. Yeah, our football team was called the Sabres, you know, and we were pretty bad. I don't think we were very good, but I did really well that year actually as a player. But I don't know, it's funny looking back on that. Yeah, football was like a really big. My dad was a coach when I was a little kid, and so I started when I was like five, and it really was just surfing and drugs that stopped me playing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think it was like 15, and I was like, oh, yeah, punk and drugs and surfing and skating. This is like way more fun than playing football. And plus, you can just get fat. Who cares? Like, you know, don't have to get up early. Yeah. That was, yeah.
one of the other small like notes from the packaging that Chris was telling a story about, that there was a stolen banner which your buddy Cheaper made for you.
That's true.
What
I don't think I read Chris's blurb. He's talking about the blurbs in the record, and you're talking about Chris Rest blurb, right? Is that And it's funny because I think I put all that together, you know. But some of the blurbs, I actually don't know. I might have never actually read that blurb. I'm realizing that right now. It's so funny. It's awesome though.
But is there someone actually maybe got back to you and returned the banner?
The banner? No, we never got it. It's the Led Zeppelin one, the blue one, right?
Yeah,
that was bitching. Yeah. I'm sure some kid somewhere by now, somebody had it hanging on their wall for a while and then decided they didn't like our band anymore and like threw it away or something, you know. Like, yeah, by now it's gone. That was so long ago. I mean, that was 20 years ago or 18 years ago, I think.
And to wrap up the topic of the box set, when you toured last year in support of this box set, you played only songs from the first five records. And I went through all the set list, and there was one song, Stuck in the Neighbors, which you didn't really play. And I did a little bit of research, and I found the last trails of the song performed live by you guys. It was in Helsinki, April 23rd, 2007. Belgium, April 30th, 2005.
No, we've done it since. That's a song that we do every once in a while, but it's like, I think it's one of those songs that just kind of comes out sometimes, you know, like if we're headlining and we're playing a show and it's maybe a smaller club and everybody's have a good little drinking buzz going, Stoke and the Neighbors will just come out. And I know we've played it more recently than 2005. Okay, so. Yeah, no, it's okay. I mean, how could you know, you know? But I know that we have. It's just, I think it's one of those songs that it's a really good live song, but it's kind of a voice killer, and it's kind of really tiring, you know, for Dave, because the whole thing's just like, you know, and I don't know, we just forget about it probably mostly. I don't know.
Yeah, that was interesting. One of your interviews, I found that you said that originally you planned to play a lot of old songs, but then you figured out that when you sing them, the voice just goes because.
Well, the first album.
Yeah, first album.
Is crazy. Like Dave, I think, went and learned like every song on the first two records when we started getting together. At first, it was like, hey, let's try this. And we were trying all these songs. And there's definitely some songs that we played like the first show, and we haven't played since. Because it was just kind of like, yeah, that didn't sound that good. You know, it's just, I mean, we were younger and, we were obviously younger, but maybe we just, it's just some songs sound better now than others, but we're still playing songs that are fast and great. And this set tonight, by the way, is all made up of old songs because it's so short, you know. We haven't quite got back to the later records yet. We're still doing songs from the first five, which needs to change very soon because we've kind of overdone that. I feel like we're ready to start playing, you know, stuff up Blaze and Resolve again. I like those records. I miss them.
Out of gas, we drive around. have just heard is true, the names have not been changed to protect the guilty. However, Lagwagon does not condone drinking and driving. They just find this particular situation to be quite humorous.
Yeah, that's true. Quite humorous situation. This show and this previous song we heard, Stalking the Neighbors by Lagwagon. Let's move on. I still have only 30 minutes and there's a lot of interesting stuff from the interview with Joey Cape. Let's move on to the next part of the interview in which we discussed Joey's solo stuff, a little bit more on outside of Lagwagon, what he does, different projects, and yeah. So let's check it out. We'll hear a little bit about his brand new band called Bad Loud. Let's check it out. Okay, so this is the third part of my interview with Joey. Okay, let's check it out. Let's a little bit switch right now and talk about your stuff, where you involved your projects. Recently, you put up on your website that the volume 1 of your new band Bad Loud just came out on tape, vinyl, and CD.
Yeah, but it had been previously released.
2011.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite albums of 2011 from Bandcamp.
Oh, really?
So cool, so awesome.
Great, man.
You, like, throughout your career, you usually collaborate with musicians within the punk scene, and in this project you're working with Carl, who is a photographer, and Asher Simon, who is a drummer for the band Easy Cheap.
Yeah, but Asher's not in the band anymore.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, he was on the record, and then shortly after, got a different drummer.
Could you please tell a little bit about lineup? Why you chose those people who are not so known in the punk rock?
I mean, I've been playing with this guy Brian Wallstrom, who plays keyboards. I've been playing with him for years. He's an old, not an old, but I've known him for a long time now, and he's one of my closer friends. And we were doing a lot of acoustic touring together. He plays piano. He's actually an opera singer, which is amazing, and he's really a successful opera singer. Like, yeah, like he played Lincoln Center in New York the other night. You know, like. He does not need to be doing the shit that he does with me. He's always in China and all over the Europe, and he's on tour right now, like doing some Mandarin opera or something. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's...
fortunately for me, he likes to play. You know, he was a fan of Lagwagon growing up, and we just met and got along. And so I was playing with him for a while, and then at one point, I just started fooling around with Asher, and it was like, well, we should record something. And Asher said, yeah, I'll pay for it. And we went in the studio, and those songs were just songs that I had already done with my acoustic thing. And I said, well, I got these songs, you know, let's make rock versions. And we just started messing around. And we were going to actually just do that for just the sake of playing together. And then the stuff was sounding really good. We auditioned bass players. It's something I'd never done in my life. We actually had an open audition at this rehearsal studio in Los Angeles, and a bass player after bass player came to these ads that we put out. It was fucking weird, dude. It's so not in my scene to audition people. And we had, like, girls showing up playing bass, and I had this thing. Like, I really wanted it to be a female just because I always kind of wanted to play with a girl in a band, you know, but it just, every girl that came, it just didn't quite fit. And there was one girl that was a model, and she was just like the most beautiful girl ever, but she couldn't play bass at all. And then there was like some other girl that was really good on the bass and really cool, but she wanted way too much money, and it was like there's no money at all. So finally Carl came in the room, and Carl is just really, really nice, and he knew the songs already, and he's just a really good guy, and he's a good bass player too. So. But recently we got a guy named Paul Rucker who plays drums, who was in a band called Armchair Martian and Drag the River. And I've known him for a long, long time. And he's just a fantastic drummer. And so the whole sound of the band has come up. It's gotten really good. We're doing a full tour in April for a month, like in Europe. So.
Any chance coming here?
Well, no, not yet. I'm sure sooner or later, yeah. I'm going to keep doing it because it's really fun. I get to play guitar and you know, it's nice to have a rock band because this stuff's so fast and I like it, but it's nice to have other kinds of music, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why I do the acoustic thing too. It's just...
And the second album is ready?
Bad Loud?
Yeah, but...
No, we've been writing a lot. We have new songs. We have some new songs, but I'm writing for Lagwagon.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been putting all my efforts into that, and just it's really hard for me to. There's definitely songs that I'm writing right now that I'm kind of putting off to the side for maybe Bad Loud because mm-hmm. they're not going to work for Lagwagon. But it's kind of weird because you never really know until you get. I have to get in the room with these guys and kind of start sorting out the ideas and see which ones. Are gonna fly, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not always right about those things, that's for sure.
And then another question, my friend Andy, who runs the record label in Edmonton, Wens Lunch Records, he asked me to ask this question.
Where?
In Edmonton.
In Edmonton. And what's his name now?
Andy, and he runs the record label Wens Lunch Records.
Wens Lunch, nice. Good name.
And he asked about the playing favorites.
Oh wow!
And he heard some story that about unreleased 7-inches.
There was a double 7-inch uh-huh. that we made, and it was supposed to get released on Suburban Home Vinyl Collective, and then you know basically Suburban Home folded, they went under, uh-huh. like they're gone now, and I don't know, Virgil talked about putting it out on Suburban Home, the owner of Virgil's, a friend of mine, he talked about putting that album out for like a year, and I finally just gave up. I saw the artwork, I knew what it looked like, the gatefold, I did all the liner notes. Mm-hmm. It was a double CD, it had a 7-inch, it had gatefold, it seven songs. I mean, it sucks. The version of The Ramones Are Dead, uh-huh. that version is actually, you can find it online. I just put it out into the world because I was so bummed the 7-inch didn't come out. I was like, fuck it. So I just put it out there. And I think if you go to like YouTube, you can find the playing favorites, The Ramones Are Dead. And you can hear what that 7-inch sounded like. It's uh-huh. it's really raw. We recorded it at our drummer's garage, you know. It's like, it's pretty garage, you know. But it sounds cool. It's really cool. We had these Japanese backing vocals on it. And these three Japanese girls that were visiting Texas. We were in Texas, and that's where our drummer lived at the time. And it's really weird. We ended up having them do backing vocals on it. It sounds really cool. They sound like little kids. I can't listen to the records from my younger years.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and CITR.ca. We just heard a song by Joey Cape's Bad Loud. This is a new band from Joey Cape, from their new album, relatively new because it was first digitally released 2 years ago, but now it got the proper release on vinyl, CD, and even cassette tape, which those items are available through Joey Cape's official web store, which you can find on his website. That was the song Montreal. Beautiful, beautiful song. Before that, we heard the Plain Favorites. The Ramones are dead. This unreleased version of the song, which the band never released it. Joe basically told the story, and yeah, I was able to find that version and played for you. As he said, the quality is not great, but it's interesting to hear the song and stuff, some unreleased material. And again, that was a request from my friend Andrew from Edmonton and from the great record label Wens Lunch Records. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next part of my interview with Joey. In this interview, we discussed Bad Astronaut and his solo material. Let's check it out. This is a next part of my interview with Joey Cape, and this he will talk a little bit about Bad Astronaut. Let's enjoy.
A couple of years ago, we did dates the Bad Astronaut, and when things finished with Bad Astronaut, I thought like it was. I heard that it was meant to play, never to do it again. Without Derek, was it the tough decision for you to actually do that?
Yeah,
the decision.
Yeah, but I mean, there was always this kind of missing, empty feeling that we'd never played even one show. Not even one show together. And I think Derek shared that feeling before he died, you know, and so I had just, there was no way I could really do that. It was too painful for a long time. I just couldn't even, I didn't want to think about that band, and I didn't want to do it without him. I felt like that was something we had done together, we'd formed together, and I said that in interviews. I said, you know, I'll never do it because that was our thing, you know, and that was like the rekindling of my relationship with Derek out of the ashes of years of drug abuse and all kinds of bad things that happened after Lagwagon. And I just, anyway, I don't know, I got over that. One day I just started talking to those guys again a lot. I mean, they always were my friends after, were the other dudes in the band, but one day we were all kind of hanging out, and I just, one too many times where everybody else in the band was like, can we just do one show? I mean, there's plenty of bros of Derek's that could play drums. So I was like, all right, if it's like a friend of Derek's, like, you know, then I'd do like a run, you know, just so we say we did it. And then we did it, and it was super fun. So we did it again. And the first time we did it with this guy named George, and he just didn't pull it off. He's such a good guy, but he just it wasn't his thing. And then the second time we got another friend, this guy Eric, who played drums and absolutely fucking kills it. So that version of the band is great. We got to play in Montreal, I think, with that version of the band in Quebec City. And there was just a few shows in Canada, and that's it, with Eric. And then everybody was like, when we came home and made like $10 each, I think I gave them all like $10 at the end of the tour, and I was like, that's how this works. Because there's no money. You just barely break. I mean, there's like six dudes. Had to fly them all into Canada and shit. So we got home, and I think all of them kind of went, oh, yeah, that was cool. Because they're all like, they have kids and families, and they all have normal jobs, and they all took a break on that. But I don't think those guys are really built for this. You know, like, you have to be able to, like, if you do this, you have to realize that it's not, definitely not about money. And they're not like that. But it's just, they can't, if they could fully commit to it, I can only commit to it part-time anyway. So that's a band that just had to do what it did. It might do something again someday, you know, but I don't know. I don't know.
No, but even last night at the acoustic show, people were yelling
the. Yeah, it's nice that people want to hear those songs. I know a lot of those songs. I just, it was weird last night. I haven't played an acoustic show in a little while. I had one a couple weeks ago, and I haven't really been playing acoustic lately, so I kind of was like, yeah, people are yelling songs. I was like, I don't really remember how to play that song. I almost thought, before the show last night, I almost thought I was just going to do an all-request show and just see what the fuck, whatever.
Yeah, because you posted on Facebook.
Yeah, like, tell me what to play.
Yeah.
And what I realized when I posted on Facebook, a lot of people were naming songs that I didn't know, and I was like, okay, that's not a good idea.
I asked for B-side and Aaron's.
I know both those songs. I'm sorry. I could have played either of those. I didn't see either of those requests.
I was yelling, B-side.
Oh, you were saying it, okay.
No, it was.
You posted
Facebook,
as well.
Facebook, and then I was yelling.
I missed that. I mean, I missed that, honestly. Like, I know both of those songs. Aaron's. I play Aaron sometimes, and B-side is one of those songs I don't play very often, but when people ask for it, I play it because it's really easy. Oh, well, I apologize. That's great. I mean, nobody ever asks for the fucking real solo songs. They always just go, lagwagon. Dude, where's the band? When's the fucking curtain gonna fall and Flip's gonna appear? It's not gonna be here. It's just me and my fucking vagina. Deal with it.
It's safe to be lonesome in your time. It's safe to lose your friend. But you're too sick to call or cry, 'cause you hate all the faking, the kind of hate that just embrace it.
If you could feel your legs falling out, then you might find the strength to stand your ground. Then you'd be close to them, then you'd be close to God. But you know you're not. Punch.
could have been gone, Christina. We could have been sane. It isn't just death, drugs, and lost love. These others leave stains. So just let the freaks of failure sing obvious songs. The B-side is real and it plays on. Again, this game is fixed. Seems like I've been fixed. But your life is 1001 in analog faith. But even if you lay witness, too little, too late. 'Cause your life is like a B-side.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We just heard a solo song by Joey Cape from his album Bridge, and it was a song called B-Side. And before that, we heard Bad Astronaut from the album Houston, We Have a Drinking Problem. And that was a cover of a song by Armchair Martian and Drag the River. That was song Break Your Frame, performed by Bad Astronaut. I'm running out of time. Let's listen to the final part of the interview really quick, and then relentlessly awesome with Jason. But for now, the last part of my interview with Joey Cape. Let's check it out. Let's now talk a little bit about the like Wagon Current stage, because when I was getting ready for the interview, I listened to everything I could ever able to find on YouTube, your recent interviews from 2010 to like basically a few months ago, and I saw this change of mood that in the beginning you were saying basically, we're just a touring band, we don't have any plans, and in the very recent interviews you said that we're playing probably like the best we have played, we have a great right place, right time. Could you please talk a little bit about ourselves, about this? Why do you think this happened? Why do you think this is happening to the band?
Yeah, no, I think that playing all those old songs and kind of focusing for a short amount of time on that, combined with getting Joe Raposo in the band, and him having shared history with everyone in the band to a certain extent, and some people really specifically sharing it, and it's almost like those two things combined have been this shot in the arm that revitalized like where we came from and kind of who we were, and I don't know. It's hard to analyze those things because you it's really difficult to be objective about these sorts of things, and I don't want to because it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like to think that much about these things, but I have answered this question a few times, and I did say that I think we're playing better than we've ever played, and that may not be true anymore, but I don't know. But for a while there, I was like, wow, we're really fucking killing every night, and it just... It's, you know, like bands are like that. There's an ebb and flow that kind of gets really great for a while, and there's give and take kind of things that happen as well. It's ups and downs, you know. But we've been, you know, I don't know. That did something for us, focusing on that old stuff. But Joe did a lot for us, too, and I actually have told him this already. I think he left the room because I was going to make him blush or something, but he's... You know, Jesse was a great bass player, and Jesse is family, and we were in a band with him forever. But getting Joe And Joe's style of bass playing has kind of reinvigorated our sound and our band in a lot. Like, he's such a fucking amazing musician. And you can hear the difference, you know, like tighter, like more intricate. It's really cool. So I'm, you know, I'm enjoying that. That's interesting for that to be happening when we're all in our mid, late 40s. You know, it's kind of like, huh. But that's why I say I don't know how long it's going to last. Because I am almost as old as Ozzy. So there's that.
Also, in one of those recent interviews, you mentioned that a few years ago you weren't sure about the sound. And even you said that the older brother record was a mistake of bringing your songs to the band.
I think that I like that record, but I think that that record is my least... It's not a misfire, but it's because I like all the records we've done. I always say that I'm really proud of everything the band's ever done. But I think that the process that normally happens in the band did not happen in that record, because those songs are already completed for this acoustic record that I did, Bridge, you know, that you know. And I feel like some of the stuff was sort of set in stone. I don't know. I don't know if that record really, like, Resolve is... I really like Resolve. When I listened to it the other day, because I was kind of every once in a while will go listen to one of our records to kind of get a state of mind or a point of view when I'm writing. And I went and listened to the Resolve record the other day, and I ended up listening to the whole thing. And it's funny to me that that record is not a more successful record of ours, because I think it might be our best. And I don't know, you know. That record's firing on all cylinders. The EP, it's cool. The songs are, I think, pretty good, and I think the band all played well. But it's just, and maybe it's because it's an EP, but it's missing something for me, like compared to Resolve.
And also, you also mentioned in the interview that you think that you know how Wagon should sound now, and I was like going crazy, because you said that you think that Wagon should sound like metal, like...
Yeah, that has already changed.
Okay, good.
No. Well, I do think we sound... That's what I think we sound like. To me, I mean, everybody's got a different definition of what punk is.
Yeah.
I really don't like the label thing to begin with. I don't know if I've ever really looked at our band as like a punk band, because the punk rock I grew up listening to is vastly different than what a band like Lagwagon sounds like. And also, I know our backgrounds. We all have pretty various backgrounds, and each individually listen to a lot of different kinds of music. And I know that a lot of us, especially me as a songwriter and Flip, we listened to a lot of metal growing up. You know, I was into hard rock and metal before I heard punk. So, because we're old. You know what I mean? That stuff precedes punk rock. It does. And so when, you know, I listen to our band, a lot of times I listen to the riffs and the chord progressions, and I say to myself, this is more metal than it is punk.
So it's interesting, because I found that Blaze, Resolve, and then Older Brother, I heard the transition, and I thought that was your sound, and then you mentioned about metal.
Yeah, I like pop music a lot, and I think that I was writing more and more, like, I was just really focused for a long time, and I still am, with most music that I write, on the pop sensibilities of the song. In other words, the melody depicts everything, including the lyrics, and the feel, and the rhythm, and all those things. And I still feel that way about music, but the truth is, you can make exceptions to that rule, and Lagwagon can be an exception a lot of the time, because, you know, I don't know. It's good that something has a melody, and that's important, but it also needs to have a lot of dynamic and intensity. So I'm interested in seeing, like, what happens if we focus more on the riffs and focus more on that musical side of things. With the kind of players that we have in this band, like these two guys, it seems sort of like shameful if we don't try to do something a little bit more intricate. So I don't know. It makes my job a lot harder when I write that way, because then I got to try to put melodies over a lot of notes. And it's just, there's a fine middle ground there that I haven't found yet. But that's what I was talking about when I was saying that. I was saying that I kind of just decided to... And this is boring, I think, to most people, what I'm saying. Maybe not you, but...
For me, it's like...
But, I don't know, I've been also recently kind of... You know, it's hard making a record. I'm not as confident as I was when I said that. So we'll see.
Okay.
I got a lot of riffs. We'll see what happens.
Thank you so much for the interview. That was brilliant for me.
Man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice meeting you.
Thank you. Hello, hello, hello. This was my interview with Joey Cape of Lagwagon, and we are almost done here. We're actually 5 minutes into Relentlessly Awesome, and I'd like to apologize to the regular listeners. Thank you so much for listening. That was my interview with Joey Cape of Lagwagon. It was a great, great big deal for me, talking to one of my heroes. If you like what you heard, you can find the podcast on CITR.ca, on my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com, and iTunes. Thank you so much. Relentlessly Awesome with Awesome Jason is up next, and Fun Drive has started. Fun Drive on CITR has started, and for the next 10 days, almost, I think, like 8 days, we will be taking on the donations for the Fine Drive. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your support. You are the best listeners. Thanks for all the feedback. And I'd like to finish the show with the Lagwagon song, obviously, Falling Apart from their album Blaze. Thank you so much. Lagwagon, Falling Apart.
Pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage. Pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage. Sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage. Sausage, pork, beef, cheese,
press 1 if you are tripping balls. Press 2 if you are planning to trip balls. Press 3 if all the balls have been tripped, yet you find yourself adrift amongst the tubes of the ether, dreaming of tubes amongst spheres that have not yet been. You pressed 1, you are tripping balls.
Relax. You're not tripping balls. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Awesome on CITR 101.9 FM.